themselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw the large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Then going over to verse 53. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout the whole region and carried the sick on mats to where they had heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let's pray. Holy Father, open our hearts, our minds, our eyes, and our ears that as you speak to us today, we'll receive those words and put them into action in our lives. And may the words from my mouth be a blessing unto you. Amen. You may be seated. Hey, have any of y'all ever craved something? Lunch? Got you covered, brother. So, that's kind of been our nature. We crave things, don't we? My youngest grandson over here playing on the floor. I remember it wasn't maybe a couple of weeks ago. He got in his mind that he wanted to go to the store and get a toy. Now, typically with kids, you can tell them something and they'll be satisfied with it, right? Right? So Tate's not that way. Tate has this thing about he wants it. He wants it now. And there's no excuse. So this particular incident, it was like 9 o'clock at night when it popped in his head that he wanted this particular toy. So he didn't come ask me because that's just not the way he rolls. He may have said something to his mama or daddy and they gave him the typical excuse, no. But with Tate, he's got it figured out. Nana, take me to the store and get me a present or a toy. Nana, I really want to go get a toy. 30 minutes later, Nana. So in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, if we can get him to go to bed and he goes to sleep, he'll be off on something else. I mean, typically that's what three-year-olds do. They go on to the next thing. I happened to be at their house at 7 o'clock the next morning when he got up, and the very first thing out of his mouth was, Papa, I need you to take me to the store so I can get my toy. You see, Tate was obsessed with getting that particular toy. And it didn't matter that there wasn't any money. It didn't matter that the store wasn't open yet. It didn't matter that everybody was either still in bed or had just gotten up. It was, I want it and I want it now. So when I read this text this week, I thought about that. But then again, you know, this particular text, and I encourage you to go back and read the whole thing. Never take my word for anything because I can't tell you how to believe or think or anything like that. But this text is surrounding around when Jesus fed the 5,000. So as I was reading, there's so many different ways that this text can be taken, but something jumped out at me about both areas. And that was that the people continued to come where Jesus was. It didn't matter how far and how long it took them, they were going to come to Jesus. One particular commentary that I had read said that the trip across the lake only takes a couple of hours. But the people walked 10 miles around the lake and beat the boat to the other side. And it made me wonder why. Why would somebody go that far and to that extent to see a guy they had just seen on the other side? What was so special? And it dawned on me that they had an obsession about Jesus. So I want to talk to you a little bit today about craving. We all have cravings, right? I mean, think about it. We obsess about a new purse. We obsess about a new truck. We obsess about food. We obsess about clothes. I mean, that's just what we do. We have to have those things. Me personally, you know, I crave a good, juicy steak. Right? Wow. I crave cheeseburgers. Woohoo! But most of all, when it comes to food, I crave French fries. You know why? Because I ain't supposed to have them. Smile, sweetheart. This is a sermon. But I also have other cravings. You know, I crave every now and then I'll have this obsession about going and getting new suit clothes or something. A new hunting blind. A new trail camera. A new bow. She said, it's my birthday, not yours. A new deer lease. We crave things. And when it comes to food, there's a reason why we crave it. There's actually three reasons. The first reason is there's a deficiency. Have you ever had low potassium? Well, when you have low potassium, sometimes you crave bananas because they're high in potassium. But we crave food because of a deficiency. Something's missing there. And our body is crying out for it. We crave food because of disease. How many of you have ever had a cold or the flu? Actually, I haven't, but I figured if I raised my hand, more of you would raise yours. So when you're sick, do you or do you not sometimes crave chicken noodle soup? Yeah? Because it soothes. There's stress, and this is the one that affects me the most. When we get stressed out, what do? We eat. Y'all eat. I engorge. That's how I ended up with this physique. You're jealous of it, aren't you? The same thing is true about our spirituality. There was something going on there during that time that those people had to have Jesus. For some of them, it might have been a deficiency. Something was missing and they needed that fulfillment. For some, it was disease. We read about it. They knew that even if they touched the hem of His coat, they would be healed. Some of it was stress. Ever had spiritual stress? That's tough. When everything around you just crumbles. And you look around and all of a sudden you look up and you're in a valley or in a hole that you can't get out of. What do? We cry out to Jesus. So for them, that spiritual craving, that spiritual obsession was the fact that Jesus had the answer. Jesus was that nourishment that they needed. But the other thing that caught me about this was this. So we can imagine how many people it was. Scripture tells us that it was 5,000 men. That didn't count the women and children that were there. So you could imagine there was close to 10,000 plus there, and they were following him. And everywhere he went during his 3-year ministry, they swarmed him. But then they left. Here's the problem that I saw here. So, one of the easiest ways to take care of hunger is junk food, right? McDonald's, Burger King. Whataburger! Taco Costa. Yum. Kentucky Fried Chicken. Huh? Chicken Express. Yeah, I like that. They make good gizzards. The problem with that is that, you know, it's kind of like Chinese food. You eat Chinese food and an hour later you're hungry again. You see, the junk food doesn't fulfill what we're craving inside. It'll fix it for a little bit, but it doesn't take care of the problem. And that's what was going on with these people. They were after the junk food of spirituality. They wanted a quick healing. They wanted a prayer. They wanted to hear the word. And then they were good. We're like that too. Go to church on Sunday morning, get our Jesus fix, and we're done for the week. Or a quick prayer here and there when we remember. Listen to a good Christian song on the radio. We're good. But that doesn't fill that void that's there. And we tend to walk away, and a little bit later, we're still hungry. So what was it that was different about those people and the disciples? You see, the disciples stuck around. They were there for the whole time period. And I came to this conclusion. They were in a relationship with Jesus. They were with Him every day. They were constantly learning. They were constantly talking and spending time with Jesus. It's kind of like a marriage. You know, we all go through that honeymoon period. Everything's just honky-dory and peachy keen. But after a while, that newness kind of wears off. Here in a couple of weeks, Angie and I are going to celebrate 38 years. Can y'all believe she put up with me that long? What has kept her around? I know it's not my beauty. So something has to be there. And it's the fact that because we're together as much as we are, we've learned each other and we have fallen completely in love with each other. Right? Got to check every now and then, y'all. That was the way it was with the disciples' relationship with Christ. They were constantly with Him, and they experienced Him on a daily. No, they experienced Him on an hourly. No, on a minute-to-minute basis. 24/7, 365. So that nourishment was always there. And Jesus kept them fed. They didn't have to go out and go to the drive-in at Isaiah's Quick Food. They had the substance there. It's kind of like, do you want the chicken or do you want the chicken nuggets? It was about being together in that relationship constantly. So today, as we go through our Christian walk, as we claim to be disciples of Christ, as we say that we are followers of Jesus, are we there for the little quick snacks that come? Or are we there to receive the full meal? You see, that's what's wrong with us today, is that we have gotten so busy in our lives that we run into the store to get something quick that we can put in the microwave. We do the same thing in our spiritual life. We flip on Joel Osteen during the week and that ought to take care of everything. But that's not a fulfilling relationship. So, in closing, I ask you this. Are you here because you're hungry today and you're looking for that fulfillment of your relationship with Christ? Or did you just pop in to say hi? Because here's the thing, if you just popped in, that spiritual feeding that you're getting isn't going to last you until you get up to 175. But if you came today to receive God's love, mercy, and grace, and to continue to fill you spiritually, and you continue with your relationship with Him throughout the week, we'll never go hungry. Where you at? Fast food? Or a filling meal? Let's pray. Holy Father, we're here right now, and we're hungry. And Father, we open ourselves up that You can fill us with Your glory, Your love, and Your forgiveness. Lord, we're going to leave here in a few minutes, and we're going to go eat lunch and start the rest of our week off. And Father, we know that we need that nourishment every day. Lord, continue to keep in our minds that we need to be in relationship with You all the time. That we can talk to you as we talk to a friend. We don't have to make this big formal prayer. We know that we can go to your word at any time and just read a verse. And we know that if we keep our minds and our hearts open, we can hear you speaking to us in many forms. Watch over and protect us, Father, this week. And Father, as we come in contact with the rest of the world, we ask that you give us the words and the actions that others might see you through us, that you might be glorified and not us. Father, we pray all this in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen. Our closing hymn, which is our hymn of invitation, is, He leadeth me, page 128, right? This is our hymn of invitation. If anyone would like to become a member of this church by transferring your letter, or if you would like to receive Christ as your personal Savior today, you're invited to come as we stand and sing.